Our text is from the gospel reading. We heard a few moments ago these words, "Behold, this child is appointed for a sign that is opposed." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, it doesn't happen every Christmas. It doesn't happen every Christmas, but it happens on some Christmases. On some Christmases with our children. And it happens when they receive their presents there in the living room in our house, gathered around the tree there. Yes, it happens as they all open their presents, perhaps one at a time, perhaps all together at the same time. And like I said, it doesn't happen every Christmas, but it does happen. What happens? Well, one of our children receives the perfect gift. Yes, the perfect gift. What's the perfect gift? The perfect gift is something that that child truly wanted, truly desired, and truly treasures. And what is more, that gift, that perfect gift, is seen for what it is by others. And so that child's siblings, brothers and sisters, go through a range of emotions in response, don't they? When they see such a perfect gift given, such a perfect gift received. I mean, first they're happy that their sibling received something nice, something cool even, something awesome, and that's okay. But when the gift opening is done, and they too have not received the perfect gift, well, things start to change, don't they? Emotions start to flare. Yes, yes, they too received nice things for Christmas, wonderful things, good things, but not a perfect thing, not the perfect thing. It doesn't take too long then for jealousy to be expressed, sadness, even anger. And that can really tank Christmas, can't it? When siblings become upset because one of them received just the most wonderful, perfect thing for Christmas, the perfect gift, and the others, well, the others realize it and respond not with joy, but with resentment. Resentment. And no amount of sharing, no amount of taking of turns, no setting of timers seems to fix the situation because, well, the perfect gift was given and belongs to just one child, not the others. And what then ultimately can happen? Abuse, even destruction of that gift. As the thought eventually emerges from one of the other children, if I can't have that perfect gift for myself, then no one can have it. That's usually an older sibling. Now, as parents, it's all so disheartening, isn't it? I mean, we do try as parents to buy meaningful and heartfelt presents for our children at Christmas time, and usually we do pretty well. Well, at least my wife, Christy, does. And after the planning and shopping and finding and buying and transporting and wrapping, all that is wanted is a smile, happiness, joy, peace. That does happen, doesn't it? But not always, especially if the perfect gift is given. So Christmas wonder in the hearts of the parents, it fizzles out. And the long Minnesota winter sets in, and the house has become smaller. Actually smaller, because some relative bought your daughter one of those gigantic indoor playhouses. Wouldn't be a stretch to think of Jesus, the baby Jesus, the very Son of God, as God's perfect gift to mankind, but initially simply to Mary and Joseph. But that gift to the world, that perfect gift by God, would not be one that would be universally welcomed. Instead, that gift, the baby Jesus, would be a sign to be opposed, so our text. The birth of Jesus would create jealousy, anger, resentment, fear, and even the threat of destruction. I mean, think here of what King Herod, Herod the Great, would do when Jesus was still a child, 2 years old, fearing that Jesus would grow up to be the one man who had the rightful claim to his throne. Herod would order that all of the little boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity, 2 years old and younger, be slaughtered. In other words, the perfect gift to mankind, the Savior of the world, was born, and the world, in response, attempted to kill it. To kill the Savior, even though Jesus at that time was 2 years old, we think. What does that have to do with us? I'm glad you asked. For here we are a few days after Christmas, still enjoying leftovers from Christmas Day. Still enjoying the chocolates from our stocking, still enjoying Christmas cookies and perhaps even a bit of eggnog, and venturing out into the world, back to work, out to the mall. What do we encounter? Christmas joy, the wonder of having received the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. No, the world has moved on. And any further speaking or sharing of Jesus can be met with jealousy, anger, resentment. Oh, you went to church on Christmas. Well, we stayed home and we watched our favorite holiday movie. Or, well, we don't celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Hanukkah, and that's even better than Christmas because we get presents on not just one day, but on 8 days. And we have Diwali. Perhaps a Hindu chimes in. That goes on for 5 days. And we have Ramadan, so the Muslim, and that goes on for a whole month with a party every single night. Yeah, such things, such social, such religious pushback, it's not so hard to deal with. More difficult is the deflation, the spiritual deflation that can occur after Christmas when we forget, as Christians, that Christ is indeed a sign to be opposed by the devil, opposed by the world, and opposed by our own flesh. More difficult is the spiritual deflation that occurs as we wonder, why? Why can't we have Christmas in our hearts every day of the year? Why can't we rejoice daily that Christ has come to dwell in our hearts? That we cannot be happy and all those around us be happy because Christ the Savior is born? Well, it is because Christ is the perfect gift for you. Christ is the perfect gift to me. And that being so, because we do through faith possess the forgiveness of sin, possess life, possess salvation, and the person of Jesus Christ dwelling in our hearts, we're going to be opposed. We're going to be the signs that are opposed. We are going to be a flashpoint for the world, which can become jealous and angry and frustrated at Jesus. It's not us. It's Jesus. Jesus dwelling in our hearts. Jesus present with us through faith. Jesus sacramentally present with us in the Lord's Supper. Jesus, the perfect gift, the sign to be opposed. So let's not become disheartened or discouraged because the world has not embraced the perfect gift, Jesus, in faith. And let us not also, in our dismay, do that which the world does, and that is view the gift of Christ as not what it is, and that is the perfect gift from God, our loving Heavenly Father, to us. Now, here we must repent of our doubt, our fear, our sadness, that we've been caught up in this gift dilemma of Jesus, and simply rejoice that the gift of the Savior has been given to us. The gift of the full and free forgiveness of our sin is ours. The gift of peace with God and a clear conscience is what we have been given. No, we're not to be discouraged because of the reaction of the world to Christ, but we also are not to become smug because, yes, He is the perfect gift. Let's not get all tripped up there, but simply continue to live in Christ, our sins forgiven daily, knowing that for some reason such a gift was given to us personally, a reason perhaps we cannot fathom, but it has happened. For what are we to do? What are we to do? Deny that Christ is our gift? Attempt somehow to return the gift of Christ? Throw up our hands and say that since everyone we know does not have Christ in their hearts, that we don't want Him there either because, well, we don't want to be somewhat different than our friends and family? No, no, no. Yes, we've all been there with our children for a moment thinking, and you've thought this, We wouldn't have bought that gift for that child if we knew it was going to cause so much trouble. Let's be thankful and rejoice that our Father in heaven didn't think the same thing and then not send his son Jesus to us. So how do we move forward then? Well, we move forward with a difference between the perfect gift given to a child at Christmas and the perfect gift which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The difference? The perfect gift of Jesus is not just for certain individuals. It's not just for one child in a family, not just for a single person here or there, but the perfect gift of Jesus Christ is for everyone, for all of humanity, for every single person here this morning and those beyond. And what that means is that we can share this perfect gift of Jesus with others, and in sharing it, not suffer loss. Now think of that. Think of what that means. I mean, in sharing a gift, often it means that we lose it, right? We lose control of it. We may even lose it permanently, as the one with whom we share it never returns it. But that doesn't happen with Jesus. With Jesus, we can share the perfect heavenly gift and at that same time not be without the perfect heavenly gift ourselves. Kind of like when someone says to us, you know, I bought one of these for myself and I liked it so much, I bought one for you as well for Christmas. That's what we do with the perfect Christmas gift, Jesus. We share that which we truly value, truly enjoy, truly treasure. So let's not be discouraged by the reaction of the devil, the world, and our flesh to the gift that we have received. It's truly the most wondrous of gifts, the most perfect gifts that we should not hesitate sharing. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.